welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. My name is Jessica. I will be hosting today, and I am here with the author of Not the Dead Ones, which is the 23rd novel about Alaska PI Kate Shugak. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So why don't you introduce yourself and then tell us a little bit about this particular installment of Kate's story?
My name is Dana Stabenow. I'm the author of the Kate Shugak series, which have been going on for probably an unconscionably long time. And this is the 23rd in that series. And the Not the Ones Dead, which is the 23rd Kate Shugak novel. Eventually, there's a long lead up to the murder that we don't know is a murder yet. There is a midair collision in the park, which is where Kate lives. It's a generic national park. And there are 8 bodies on the ground. And then, oh, what do you know? A few weeks later, the information is disclosed that there was a 9th body that is unaccounted for on either of the plane's manifests. So I think it's actually 9 bodies from the midair and the 10th body on the ground. There were too many bodies there.
Yes, no, I was about to say, you know, it's a very interesting premise and a very interesting setup. And, you know, like you mentioned, there's a buildup and we don't want to give anything away, really. There's a lot of threads going on in the story, which are very interesting.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, to say the least. But what I'm curious about is, so how did you come up with this setup? Because it is a really interesting setup.
You must have talked to many, many crime fiction authors over the years, and we're always looking for a new way to kill somebody in fiction. And
you're actually the first person I have to say, though, to say it that way. And I love it. Well, and
it's only the truth. and there was a midair close to where I live, and I actually drove by it on the way home that day. And I mean, I literally drove by it with my hand up because I just didn't even want to see it. It was just horrific. And and of course, you know, if you're a crime fiction author, everything is grist for the mill. And I didn't start thinking about it that way. I didn't start thinking about it as the plot for a book until I was weeding my garden one day and a drone flew overhead. I never did know who floated the drone over my yard, but it hung there looking at me. And I was really annoyed. And I mean, I just felt spied upon, like, what are you doing watching me weed? Come on. And then I thought to myself, oh, I could, boy, if I had my gun, I could shoot it out of the air. Well, yeah, no, because there are small planes flying overhead all the time where I live. And I thought, man, if I missed the drone, I could hit a plane. I could actually kill somebody. Oh.
And in a book or in real life?
So, you know, that, of course, you know, a drone may or may not be the cause of the midair collision. And that is what moves this story forward eventually. But again, like I say, there's a lot that comes before that.
There is. So like a few things I wanted to talk about. So this is 23 books. How have you stuck with this for so long? What is it about Kate and the landscape and the park that sort of keeps you invested, other than the Dana Maniacs? Am I allowed to say that on air?
Absolutely. Lovingly, it's all their fault.
Lovingly, hello, Dana Maniacs, other than your huge mega fans who just cannot get enough.
Well, I always thought, you know, one of the things that I've always been terrified of is that I would write the Kate Shugak series too long and that she would go stale, because we all know authors who have done that, who should have stopped writing their series when they got to the point where they weren't interested anymore in them. And so One of the ways that I have tried to keep that from happening is to write other things. Like I wrote 5 Liam Campbell novels and I've written historical novels now. I'm moving in a big way into historical fiction. I've written science fiction in the past. I wrote a couple of thrillers. So I write these in between the Kate Chugach novels, which always, it not only informs my writing, it improves my craft. That maybe sound a little egotistical, but and then I take that back to the next Kate Chugach novel. And it seems to really help maintain my interest in those characters in that place and in that time. And remember too, that in 23 Kate Chugach novels, really only 10 years have elapsed in Kate's life. So there's that as well.
Now, when is the first, what year did you publish the first Kate Chugach novel then?
I think it was 92. I think I won the Edgar in 93, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So I guess my question is, if only 10 years have passed, because I know there's like, this, and this isn't a spoiler, just COVID-19 is sort of mentioned in this novel. Do you find it hard to sort of marry the progression of time in real time to the progression of time that we have now, if that makes sense?
That's an interesting question, because I remember hearing Sue Grafton talk about that. And I remember her saying what a pain it was, because Kinsey Mahone, her character, was aging in real time, but in her time. And she talked about the difficulties of that, about how she has had Kinsey reaching for a cell phone. Oh, wait, no, there weren't any cell phones then. Constantly second guess everything that she was doing. And I thought to myself, I never even tried to do that. And I'm so glad now that I didn't. So time in the Kate Chugach world is proceeding apace. I also, let me also mention the Ed McBain 87th Precinct series. He started writing those, and I think it might have been the late 50s. And all of his cops, the 87th Precinct cops, were Korean War veterans. As he continued to write those series, those veterans then he never explained it. He never apologized. He just made them instead Vietnam War veterans. And I thought, that is the way to handle this. That is the way to handle this. And so I am.
Yeah. And I think that, there's also a certain amount of craft that kind of comes into it. You know, when your writing is really good and your writing is really solid and your readers are getting, fed, I think that they're going to sort of accept it. I mean, fiction is fiction, even when it's based in reality, and you just sort of have to go with it sometimes and be like, well, you know what? I'm going to continue with this. It's just, it's interesting to me because I have heard of, like some authors like, oh, well, should I adapt for now? But that's very interesting. Thank you for telling me that, because it's definitely something I had been thinking about. So also the story is set, your stories, the Kate Chugach stories are set in Alaska, and that is an area you are extremely familiar with.
I was born in Alaska. I've lived here all my life. I was born in the territory. We weren't even a state. I mean, I'm that old. So Kate is not.
But, no.
I've had some pretty interesting experiences in my life. We lived pretty close to the bone when I was a kid, but then everybody in Alaska did. Nobody had any money back then. And, we hunted, we fished. If we didn't get our moose, we didn't eat meat that winter. God, you got sick of salmon. Kate's life experiences, many of Kate's life experiences are my life experiences. And then I was raised with Aleuts and Filipinos. So, well, Sugpiak, more properly termed Sugpiak nowadays. So, that old saw, write what you know. Okay, that's all right as far as it goes, but you can learn a lot in books too. So, it's not like I've ever time traveled to, Alexandria in 67 BC or, taken a rocket ship to Mars, but I can still write about those places as long as I inform myself enough about them before I write them.
Of course. Another question I kind of have, and again, this is to kind of avoid spoilers, but sort of just get into, just the heart of it. Do you have a favorite character to write in this series?
I think I really love Bobby. And I don't know why. I do not know any Black war veterans from Vietnam who have had their legs amputated. I never met that guy, but he bounced out on stage in the first Kate Chugach novel. He takes over every scene he's in. And I always miss him when he's not in the narrative. He starts this book, and
Yeah,
man, his voice is
I was
so
going to say
strong.
that.
I just basically channel him. I mean, I don't mean to sound I like it. Just he. I mean, I just sit back and it's like I'm typing his words, and he's telling them in my ear. It probably sounds a little silly, but that's what it feels like sometimes. He's very real to me.
No, I was going to say he does start this book off, and it was very, very much appreciative. Yeah, no, he definitely is a scene stealer, and I can see why you feel that way about him. I also, the aunties are very interesting as well.
Oh, I love the aunties.
Is your do you have like a favorite part of writing them, or just in general, they're kind of like a presence?
I think they first came on stage as a group, I believe, in the book Killing Grounds, when they essentially take over that narrative. Bobby isn't in that book, but they definitely are, and they're front and center. And it's only looking back years later that I realized that the aunties come from a lifetime spent, witnessing the lives of Alaskan Native women that I have known. They're all moving into positions of power, and they all have moved into positions of power. They're running everything. The villages, the village tribes, the Native associations, the regional corporations. We even elected one to Congress this year. And it's that's the aunties. That's where the aunties come from, and Jim's board comes from. Yeah. And of course now, Kate is trying to be strong arm is the aunties are trying to strong arm and Kate into filling an aunty position, and she's fighting them every step of the way. I honestly don't know how that's going to end.
So you don't, so wait a second. So you're not even sure what direction they're going to pull her in.
She was strong-armed into being on the Nanutla City Association board, and that did not go real well at first. And she got off it as soon, and she did her best. She did her job. She fulfilled her responsibility to her people, to her tribe, to her community, and then she got off it as fast as she could and found someone else to take her place. Someone she didn't like very much, but that she thought would be capable in that position. But she was out of there as fast as she could be. So I wouldn't put it past her to figure out a way out of being an auntie either. Although that is a pretty difficult job to get out of.
Another, I guess, character I wanted to ask you about was Mutt, the half wolf.
Oh.
I so is are there a lot of people who have pets like that, who have pets that have are half wolf or wolf?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Mutt is an extremely civilized half wolf, half husky.
I was going to say, I mean, I actually have a friend who has four huskies, and it's like he has a pack of wolves running through his house, but like my husband always says, well, that's one meal away from a wolf. But yeah.
I myself would not have a part wolf dog. I wouldn't do it. I don't trust myself to be that much on my guard or to trust an animal. I mean, wolves are wild animals. They're very cool critters. There are many cool critters out there in the Alaskan wilderness. I'm not going to make a pet of a grizzly bear either. So she is, that's poetic license, Mutt. That's not to say that mutts don't exist. Yeah, they do. And of course, they interbreed among species, and especially out where the wolves run wild and somebody's got a dog in heat. Yeah, of course, it happens. Sure.
So, what was your favorite part about writing this particular installment of Kate's story? Other than so much Bobby, other than Bobby being front and center.
No, because Bobby begins and ends the book, basically. Well, mostly. I would have to say Bernie's experiences, trying to be as vague as possible, because that has actually been happening. What happens there has actually been happening a lot in Alaska over the past, I'd say, 10 to 20 years. Those places are, that's exactly what's happening to them. And I thought, okay, you know, reality bites. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to dance around that, because it is a big part of the story. And unfortunately, that is unfortunately happening in a lot of places to different degrees. You know, I guess like my question is, and this is not to sort of dig into it too much, but do you ever feel sort of reluctant to dig into something so current or things that are that topical? Or, you know, do you kind of feel like, no, this is it. This is, you know, sort of what has to inform this particular story.
This kind of crap happens to all of us. And it's not the fact of it happening to us that matters. It's how we react to it that does. And what I love about this particular situation is that the community, we get to watch the entire community reacting to it. And I think in a situation like this, that's very important. Is that vague enough for you?
No, it's actually perfect. And I hope it whets the appetite of the people who are going to read this book.
Well, they're all going to be upset now. They're, you know, as soon as they hear this, I'm telling you, they're all going to be on like the Dana Maniacs page. What did she mean?
Well, read the book and then you'll find out what she means. when does this book come out?
April 11th, but April. I am signing it a day early. I'm going to be appearing with John Samford, who's Ooh. Promoting his second Lacey Davenport book at the same time at the Poison Pen in bookstore in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, nice. I love that place. Yeah. It's like, not that I haven't been there, but I know of it. And I am I am a big fan of its existence.
If you ever get a chance, and anybody who's listening, if you ever get a chance, if you're ever in Arizona, if you're ever in Scottsdale, go to that store. Make it a point of going to that store.
So just in craft in general, because you do write in so many genres, and you did say, you know, it kind of informs your other writing. Do you ever get mixed up? Are you ever, you know, do you find it difficult to sort of separate the type of writing you're doing? Like, or do you write several things at once?
I would write one book every 6 months because I was contractually obliged at first. That's what my first three Kate Chugak contracts were. And then my first Liam Campbell contract was also that. I was supposed to produce a book every 6 months. And back then I would have to write a Kate Chugak novel and then a Liam Campbell novel and then a Kate Chugak novel and then a Liam Campbell novel. And it could be difficult to keep my mind in the two different locations with the two different sets of characters. But you know, once you get going, you're fine. You do have to go back and do a little editing of the first couple of chapters.
Do you read in many genres?
I read in all genres. There's no printed matter that's safe from me. Since I'm talking to a librarian, My hometown of Saldovia, which is right across the bay from me here, had a one room public library that was built up by the postmistress of the town. Her name is Susan Block English. And it was a very small town. It was like 300 or 400 people in the winter. And it was only open once a week, Monday nights, 7 to 10. You could only take out 4 books at a time. So because there were so few books. And she didn't want anybody to go away empty-handed, our Susan. And I read everything. I read everything. And she never stopped me from taking anything out. She didn't bother her what I took out to read. She was friends with my mom. She knew that my mom was going to be looking over my shoulder, making sure if I had any questions, she was there to answer them. And so, I mean, there was one time when I even, after I'd read everything I wanted to, I went back and I read everything alphabetically. And I think that probably developed my appetite for, you know, exploring different genres. So, and I have to say too, that the Alexandria books, the Cleopatra books, are crime fiction you know, so they're, you know, basically it's Cleopatra's PI. So as far as genre is concerned, there's not that much of a distance between writing them in the Kate Chugach series, you know, other than 2,000 years and then the extreme advancement in technology.
If you could travel back in time to any time in history, what would it be to?
It'd be Alexandria.
I thought so, but I figured
as long as I could have all my shots, as long as I could have all my shots and I could visit my dentist before I went, then I would go.
Yes.
I mean, who wouldn't want to see the library? I actually managed to slide into Egypt in December of 2019, just before COVID, for a research trip for the Eye of Isis novels. And we went to Alexandria. You should, they've made a new library, a new great library. It's online. You should check it out. It's like, I think, I can't remember what the website is, but just Google Great Library at Alexandria and scroll past the historical one. And the it is one of the most beautiful buildings you're ever going to see. And in fact, I've adapted some of the features of it to the library 2,000 years ago, because why not? Nobody can tell me different because it's all underwater now. And it's just, it's, can you, and the Ptolemies, the kings, the royal family would subsidize scholars from all over the classical world to come and study and lecture at the library and the museum. And the, I mean, so anybody and every Eratosthenes was there 300 years before it's just, it's the idea of just like sitting in the back of a room and listening to those people speak. It's thrilling. It's thrilling to me to be, that's one reason why I ended, was it the last book or the book before that, at a lecture by an actual guy, Vitruvius, the guy who wrote the 10 books of architecture. The Tetacheri actually gets to attend a speech by him, which is basically his reading like the first chapter of his book. And it's, I mean, I was thrilled to do that.
So are you going to be writing the 24th book in Kate's story?
I have sworn a mighty oath that I will not write a Kate Chugach novel, another Kate Chugach novel, until I have a really good plot for it. But I said that from the 20th book on. I'm getting older and I do not want to leave. I don't want the fans to be left hanging. They have really supported me over the years, and that would just be, I couldn't do that. So every book that I write is, it's going to be okay by the end of that book. It's going to be okay to leave the series at the end of that book, just in case I peg out before I write the next one. And I am determined not to write.
I was just kind of,
for those of you on the podcast who cannot see her, she's like waving me off as if I'm trying to make a dangerous landing at an airport.
Yeah, like, you know, kind of like airplanes colliding in the air. No, I was waving my hands for the audience, because we're not using video for the actual podcast. It's I was waving my hands like, please don't do that. Don't get off.
No, I I don't ever want the Kate Chugach character ensemble to go dull, to lack spark. I don't want ever to be bored writing them, because if I'm bored writing them, people are going to be bored reading them, and we can't have that. So I have to have a good, solid plot. Although I will tell you, and this is the first time I've said this out loud to anybody, that I do have a little bit of an idea for the 24th one.
Very exciting. Well, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure. What's the weather like where you are right now?
It is 25 degrees. It's blowing 10 to 12 miles an hour, according to my weather station, and the sun is out. It's cold, but it's glorious.
I was going to say, is that like normal for this time of year?
Yeah. March is coming in like a lion.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so, so much, Dana. It's been such a pleasure talking around the major plot points of this book and hoping that it whets the appetite.
Thank you for being so accommodating.
So once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. Our guest was
Dana Stabenow.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.